its material. Millions of artists create. Only a few thousands are discussed or accepted by the spectator, and many less again are consecrated by posterity. In the last analysis, the artist may shout from all the rooftops that he is a genius. He will have to wait for the verdict of the spectator in order that his declarations take a social value, and that finally posterity includes him in the primers of artist history. I know that this statement will not meet.
All right, you're listening to Radioactive San Diego, and we've got on the phone with us a former member of the Black Panther Party who is currently in New Orleans, Louisiana. Can you hear me, Malik?
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much for coming with us on the air. We're a community radio station in San Diego. We've been trying to get some coverage of this, and I read the article that you wrote, the story in the Bayview. So maybe you could tell me a little bit about what's going on right now.
Well, right now it's getting much better. It's starting to get a little organized. But it took, the last week and a half have been pure hell. So many people have lost their lives because it just wasn't no organization. And it's sad to say that it just wasn't organized. It's something different than what happened in the Pacific with the tsunami. Mm-hmm. We had prior warning that this was coming. We had 2 days that we could have got people out when we knew that we were going to be hit in New Orleans or in the general New Orleans area with a Category 5 hurricane. We had all type of studies done on what would be the worst case scenario. And with that, it was nothing. It wasn't nothing when when the hurricane, those 2 days, mm-hmm. because I'm going to tell you, basically what they said is to leave the city.
Right.
You know, and many people couldn't afford to leave. It came at the end of the month. Most people that was on welfare or Social Security at around the end of the month, they normally don't have anything.
So
it was over 100,000 people in New Orleans that had no transportation.
Right.
And wasn't nothing done for them. You know, we sit and watch almost 500 buses. School buses that could have been used to evacuate people. We're seeing about 400 of them just get inundated with water. You know, I mean, it wasn't nothing to get people out. That's what kicked off a lot of that looting.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they told people to go to the Superdome, and they had to bring food for 5 days. Most people didn't have food. So that's what started all the fights up in the Superdome.
Right.
You know, and then with a lot of people, they was walking down the highways, cars upon cars passing by, and I'm talking about military convoys and state police and all these different transportation. Didn't pick up no one. You know, I mean, my son, he walked with his 3 kids and wife 6.5 miles to get to the Superdome, only to be turned around because at that time they was just taking women and children and wasn't taking no adults. I mean, no male. And she didn't want to see her family separated, so they wound up not coming here. It's just by the grace of God that I was here, because they didn't even know if I was going to be here.
Wow. So I understand there were some reports of people shooting back at police or shooting at military helicopters. Did you hear about that?
I'm going to tell you, I believe most of those was just rumors.
Really?
Now, I know that the police shot a guy for looting.
Mm-hmm.
And that... started retaliation where guys start shooting back at the police.
Right.
Until they say, well, you know, because I'm going to tell you, if you tell a person who don't have nothing that, hey, you know, you got to fend for yourself and there's nothing to fend with, you know, and then you got going to tell them, I want you to be more neighborly than anyone else. You know, because, I mean, people sit up here and watch people leave and park cars. I mean, cars, just park them and lock them and take the keys with them. And they didn't try to say, well, hey, neighbor, here's a car. Here's my other car. You could use my second or my third car. No, they parked them all in the yard. That's the reason. That's the thing that really started this frustration. You know, you want the poor to have more morality than anybody else, and it just don't work. You know, I mean, it's just sad. I think it was criminal the way this transpired.
Right. So, can you talk a little bit about the level of poverty in New Orleans? I mean, it seems like...
Well, I'll tell you this. New Orleans has the highest... the murder rate in New Orleans is 10 times the national average. Mm-hmm. You know, poverty in New Orleans, the average income of a person in Louisiana, in New Orleans, a poor person is roughly between $5,000 and $7,000 a year.
Wow. Okay.
So when you're talking about a person that's only getting $7,000 a year, and that's basically for a family of three,
mm-hmm.
you know, you know, there's no work. The work that they do have, there's no real training programs. There's over $90 million of Hope 6 construction going on in New Orleans. And no training. And a part of those funds was supposed to be set aside for community and supportive services. Nothing is going on. There's no training. You know, I believe Louisiana has the highest dropout rate in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's high in the country, the highest part in Louisiana is here in New Orleans. Our juvenile justice system is basically a disgrace, especially the detention centers. You know, we had to fight for almost 4 years to get Tallulah, which was a juvenile detention center, a for-profit juvenile detention center, and it was classified as the worst detention center in the country. Mm-hmm. What's happening in New Orleans is not something that has just happened. It was a study that Tom Hayden did in California,
mm-hmm.
on violence in California. And I believe he commissioned a person by the name of Dr. Gilliam, if I'm not mistaken. It's a few years. That's why he was in the state senate. And he said that outside of war, the most violent environment in America is prisons and jails.
Right.
Here in Louisiana, we incarcerate, here in our county jail, we have over 7,000 people in that county jail. And almost 5,000 of them are in there for nonviolent misdemeanor offense.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just a breeding ground. They go up in there, they come out, no job, nothing to do, and next thing you know, either their second or their third offense is violence. Most of the murders, and listen, we're approaching 300 murders right now in New Orleans. And I'm not talking about during this hurricane. I'm talking about prior to it. 300 murders. And that's just for 1 year. And what is this? This is September. We still got, 4 months, 5 months left? 4 months left?
Mm-hmm.
And we already are approaching 300 murders. And most of the murders is ex-offenders killing ex-offenders because there's no job. The only equal opportunity employer here is drugs. No, but now, all of a sudden, it take a hurricane to devastate the city for it to become, for work to come out of it. You know, and the first bit of looting was people were stealing was food. But then after they realized, when they start hearing the horror stories of not having it, if you don't have any money, what happened to you? Then they start stealing anything that they feel like they could barter for to get out of the town. If that mean me stealing a TV to sell that TV to get some money, then that's what they was doing. You know, because, common sense would tell any sane person or any rational person, what you going to do with a TV when your house is flooded?
Right.
But what a guy is saying is, this: I have this TV, and at least maybe I could trade this TV for some gasoline. Because right now here in New Orleans, gasoline is worth more than gold. There's not even one functioning filling station in the entire city of New Orleans. So what people are doing now, they're going around taking any car that they see empty. They're puncturing holes in the gas tank trying to get gas so that they could leave. And I'm going to tell you, order just came today, and that came with the military.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the way up until then, you had white vigilante groups, and I'm calling them vigilantes because that's what they was. They would ride around in trucks, five, six of them to a truck with shotguns and rifles, you know, talking about they're going to shoot loadings.
Mm-hmm. And so did you see any shootings?
Well, they said it was three.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's only by the grace of God that the police finally came and stopped it, because it was about to be a riot. It was about to break into a race riot here in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys went and stole. When they found out that this was happening, they started breaking into gun stores, pawn shops, stealing guns. So the next thing you know, you had a whole bunch of armed people that are saying that, hey, yeah, if they shoot at me, I'm shooting, you know, because I'm not going to allow my family to sit here waiting on a government that have no idea what they're doing to make sure that I have. I took the guy to the ferry today so that he could be transported out. He didn't really want to leave, but he was running out of insulin. He had insulin, but the insulin that he had, he didn't know if it was good or not because he didn't have no place to keep it for cold, to keep it refrigerated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these are the kind of cases because you're steady hearing of people dying like this. We have dead bodies in this city right now, just as have been laying there, that we went and covered up Tuesday, and today is Friday, and they're still laying there.
So,
create the insanity that's going on.
Right. So, many people have pointed out how there's definitely a racist dynamic going on here. There's definitely the dynamic going on where most of the people who were left behind in the city are black.
No. I'm gonna tell you this here. When I was telling you about that, that's a small segment of whites that is doing this. Because mm-hmm. I'm gonna tell you, I'm seeing many whites get on there, take their own personal boats mm-hmm. to go into a black community. And excuse me for a second. I'm seeing many of them take their own boats and go into a black community and rescue people. You know, I mean, listen, it's bad, but I'm going to tell you, I'm seeing too many acts of heroisms between, different individuals. Individuals sharing ice, sharing water, not knowing whether or not they're going to get water because the city didn't even tell any damn body when they could have water. We went to fire station, and in those fire stations, they had water almost up to the ceiling. The firemen had guns and wouldn't give out the water. We had a group of my neighbors, we had put together, and we was going to cook food to bring out to the families that they was evacuating. Why? Because they had them sitting there starving. Some of them people had been stuck up in their roofs or their houses for 2 and 3 days with nothing. You know, and then they made them sit outside in this hot sun here, because I'm going to tell you, here when it's 90, if it gets to 95, that's a heat index of over 100. And you're seeing people just steady dropping. And they wouldn't give them nothing. It was like they was trying to do whatever they can to force them to leave. You know, and that's, when you talk to people and they have lost everything. And the few valuables that they have, once they get to the ferry here, they have to leave it because they only allow them to take one bag. It's heartbreaking when you see people that have lost, the last bit of valuable possessions that they have, and then they have to leave. You know, to go anywhere, because that's all they send, any place beat here. It's sickening. Especially when you're seeing individuals that literally sit there and watch some of their loved ones die. Charity hospitals, they work the doctors almost to death up in there with no lights, no gas. If the backup generators didn't work, some of them run out of fuel. There was no fuel sent to them. And they watch their patients literally die. You know, like I said, we did more for what's happened and with the tsunami than we did here.
And why do you think that is, Malik?
Why? For one, we have the most irresponsible elected officials, I believe, in the country. Only one parish, Jefferson Parish, came out and really did what they're supposed to do. And you know what the president of that parish did? He annexed himself from the country. He established his own independent nation. And when he done that, that's when all of a sudden, the president and everybody else was there to help him. But it took him to say, well, hey, if this is the way America going to treat the residents of Jefferson Parish, then we no longer need to be part of America. And that is sad. That is sad. You had helicopters that would fly over individuals, and knowing that, the saddest thing you could hear is that night. When you hear people howling for to be rescued out of the attics of their house and knowing that you can't do nothing. You know, individuals in their boats, they run out of gas and they go to the police or to the city and ask them, well, hey, man, just give us some more gas so we could go out there and do the rescue. Because over 70% of the people that have been rescued, the government ain't had a damn thing to do with their rescue. That was done by individuals. You know, why should you have them? You I mean, we had one, and we knew that this was coming. And nobody could have told me that this was going to be like this. They knew that it was going to be the worst hurricane that ever hit this country was about to hit, and nothing was done. But we could send these, because half of the Louisiana National Guard is over in Iraq.
So,
but what about here?
So you mentioned that most of the rescues were done by individuals. I wonder, what can people do to help? Do you have any suggestions about what people should do?
Well, I would tell you, first thing that is needed is that this whole, not just New Orleans, and not just Louisiana, but just about the whole Gulf Coast going to have to be rebuilt. The first thing you need to do is write letters to the Speaker of the Senate, who said that New Orleans need to just be leveled and just cast off. Because that's one of the things that really scared a lot of people into leaving. You know, first thing they need to do is check him. And then the second thing is start organizing some relief. You got individuals that are leaving here going all over the country with nothing. You know, set up little relief stations anywhere and everywhere to help them. Because I'm going to tell you, they're not just leaving with nothing. Most of them is in traumatic shock. And I mean, it's the saddest thing you can see when you see little kids and you look in their eyes and you don't see nothing. I mean, no type of life. Never. And I'm going to tell you, I'm 58 years old. Never would I thought I would see this in America. Never. When Hurricane Bessie hit, that was during the time of Louisiana and New Orleans was about as racist as it could be. But at least some type of compassion was shown then. None of that same compassion was shown now by this government. Now all of a sudden, 5 days and after maybe a couple of thousand people done died, now all of a sudden here come everybody talking about it. So the main thing I could tell you to tell people to do is, one, pray for us. And after they pray for us, let's just start organizing and start doing something within their community. You know, start helping the homeless wherever they're at. You know, I mean, start making arrangements to start looking at the poor. You know, stop letting them be just invisible people. Because my greatest fear is that individuals going to leave from here and get lost in the shuffle. No, so that's the main thing. When this government finally get their act together, then I believe the next thing that you could do is tools, transportation, beds, clothing. You know, because when you talk to people and they have the same clothes on for 5 damn days, you know, I mean, don't have nothing. You know, I mean, and haven't had a shower and a bath in this heat. The next thing, I guess the need is because this is still water. You know, and that's all it do is just make infestations of mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. So God knows how many people are going to wind up getting affected with West Nile. You have areas that's now, you have snakes, you have water moccasins, you have alligators, you have the water is full of fuel. You know what I mean? It's so contaminated that this water, my son had a scratch, just a scratch on his leg. Now he's 30 years old. Over 250 pounds, a healthy man, with a little scratch on his leg, only stayed here in my house for a day and a half before we had to get him out here. And in that day and a half, by the end of that day and a half, that scratch had turned into a sore. And you're seeing that with many, and many of them. The kids, their ears is infected because that water done got into their ears. You know, so the things that is, especially anybody with any type of medical experience, is definitely needed. And medical supplies. And the only thing I could tell individuals is don't wait for the government. Do what you can do and just put it together as American citizens and just come on down. So come on down and help us. Because if you don't, nobody else will. No, because I'm gonna tell you, I'm not one to really say that I'm one of the ones who love the military, but God knows that the happiest day I saw was today to see these young military men coming to aid us, and it's sickening that it had to happen like this. Because they should have been here from the time that the hurricane left from New Orleans. They should have been right here. So, no one could have told me that it was going to be this long.
So what have they been doing today to help out?
They finally been passing out the meals, the ready-to-eat meals.
Mm-hmm.
They've been passing that out. They've been passing out water, and they've been passing out ice. We've been without ice for a week. I mean, you can't even imagine the things that we take for granted. You know, I mean, that we are without now. Because when your power go out, when your electrical power go out, everything is stopped. Then the first thing you got to do is learn how to live in complete darkness. Right now, I got 5 candles.
So,
you know, and I'm gonna tell you, in that night when you're talking about it's dark, you can't even see your hand. And then they're taking people here, and they're bringing them here, and people is coming with their tests, thinking that there's gonna be something, someplace that they could house their pests. And once they get here, they just letting the pests loose. So now you're going to have packs of dogs running wild up in here. You know, I mean, it's just sickening.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit about your situation. So I read in your article that you are in a neighborhood that's not flooded. Is it surrounded by flooded neighborhoods?
Yeah, but the West Bank of New Orleans is basically dry.
Okay.
There was enough places here. We are, and just in Orleans Parish, we adjacent to Jefferson, but just in Orleans Parish, you have 3 high schools that could been used for shelters. You have close to about 7 middle schools that could have been used for shelters, and over 15 elementary schools that could have been used for shelters. None of them have been used. We have about 9 or 10 parks right here that is bone dry that could have been used to house people, set up some tent cities. None of it was done. You know, I mean, you go outside of your house, and the saddest thing you could see, and we didn't have much. But your heart got to go out to people when you see them walking down freeways where once was cars. You know, now it's just individuals walking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to see some of them walk 10, 15 miles without any water, without any food. You know, walking to try to get to the evacuation station. I I mean, when you you don't want to hear these stories, because after a while it just tears you up when you're hearing it over and over again. But you got to hear it, because they got to get it off of their chest. Mm-hmm. And you steady hearing the same one, the same horror story. A lady was telling me about how she had to leave one of her relatives, that she didn't want to leave him, but they had to force her to leave, but the person was dead. She didn't want to leave him because she didn't know how they was going to, and the only thing she was steady asking me is, what's going to happen to the body? There's nothing I could tell her. You know, because the only thing I could, you know, I couldn't tell her, well, hey, you know, we got bodies right here in Algiers that's been laying here 3 days, and they're not underwater. So there's nothing I could tell a person about what's going on in their community that's underwater. And it's hard to tell a person, well, miss, listen, you got to start worrying about the living. Mm-hmm. You know, I just lost my mother. And I know, no, I don't even want to say that.
Okay. I'm so sorry, Malik.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to go. Cause
okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add that you didn't get to say?
Like, if I could tell anyone anything, it's just, listen, if we are American, and this is a country that we're talking about becoming one big family, then your brothers and sisters, your mothers and daughters, they need your help. The worst is behind us now. Help us to rebuild our lives.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Malik.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Malik Rahim, a former member of the Black Panther Party. He's currently in the Algiers neighborhood of New Orleans, Louisiana. It's the only part of Louisiana that is not flooded right now. And you're listening to Radioactive San Diego, broadcasting on the internet at radioactiveradio.org. We've been trying to get out some independent coverage of the Hurricane Katrina and the disaster going on there. And Malik said that he thinks that about 70% of the rescues that have been done, people that have been rescued from Louisiana, have been done by individuals and not by the government. And he definitely encouraged people to organize help in their own city, to try to help the homeless and the displaced people in their own city, because people from Louisiana are being displaced to all over the country. So thanks for listening to Radioactive San Diego. Again, we're on the internet at radioactiveradio.org. You can call us at 619-269-4693. You can send us an instant message on the AOL or Yahoo Instant Messenger, Radioactive SD. And that was an interview with Malik Rahim, of the former member of the Black Panther Party. I'm DJ Lotus. And now we're just going to go to some music. Thanks for listening. Prepare to reactivate.
If I told him a completed portrait of Picasso, if I told him, would he like it? Would he like it if I told him? Would he like it? Would he like it? If Napoleon, if I told him it's Napoleon, would he like it if I told him? If I told him it's Napoleon, would he like it? If Napoleon, if I told him. If I told him it's Napoleon, if I told him. If I told him, would he like it? Would he like it if I told him? Now, not now, and now. Now, back there as a king, feeling full for it, exactitude of king. So to beseech you as full as for it, exactly or as king. Shut us, shut and open, so do. Shut us, shut And so shutters shut and so and also. Exact resemblance to exact resemblance. The exact resemblance as exact as a resemblance. Exactly as resembling, exactly resembling. Exactly in resemblance, exactly a resemblance. Exactly and resemblance. For this is so because. Now actively repeat it all. Now actively repeat it all. Now actively repeat it all. Have, hold, and hear actively repeat it all. I judge. As a resemblance to him. Who comes first? The podium first. Who comes to? Coming to. Who goes there? As they go, they share. Who shares all? All is as all as yet or as yet. Now to date. Now and date and date. Who came first? Napoleon at first. Who came first? Napoleon the first. Who came first? Napoleon first. Presently. Exactly do they do. First exactly. Exactly do they do too. First exactly. And first exactly. Exactly do they do, and first exactly and exactly, and do they do, at first exactly, and do they do, first exactly, and do they do, the first exactly, at first exactly, first as exactly, at first as exactly, presently as presently.